Let's go ahead and take our Bibles this morning, open up to page 2. Remember last week we went to Genesis 1, which was page 1, so we're going to Genesis 2 today, which is page 2 in some Bibles at least. Genesis chapter number 2. It's in my Bible, it's page 2. Amen. Last Sunday morning we began our series in the book of Genesis. And we established the fact that in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And if we have faith to believe that God created the heaven and the earth, and have faith to believe that God can save our soul from hell, we also talk about having faith to let God lead and direct your life. And as we go through the book of Genesis on Sunday mornings, what we want to look at is we're going to take main thoughts out. We're not going to go every single verse, but we're going to take main stories out. We're going to look at what we can learn about God from this. But the established fact that we want to try to bring across this morning and throughout this series is this is God's word and this is where truth is from. Man tries to change things. Man tries to what they think is improve and fix things. But what the reality is if God created the heavens and the earth, he created man, he created woman, he's the one that knows what's best. The whole system of Christianity depends on the accuracy of the statements we find in the book of Genesis. We talked about how the book of Genesis speaks in terms of revelation made to man rather than being a record of discoveries made by man. This idea, God is revealing unto man information that he would have never, ever known unless God revealed it unto him. For instance, there was no one around when God created the heavens and the earth. So the only way we know this is from God's word. That's the only truth we have when it comes to this. In Genesis chapter number 2, we're going to look at God, faith and God's plan for marriage. Faith and God's plan for marriage. We're going to look at the first wedding ceremony. Miss Patty and Mr. Larry are getting married this coming Thursday. We're going to look here at the first wedding ceremony in the Bible. Once again, where did it come from? Did some cavemen someday make up this idea and grunt it to each other and said, hey, why don't we get some women and have families? No, it didn't come from that at all. It came from what God instituted back in the garden. And that's what we're going to look at a little bit this morning is having faith and doing things God's way. Let's look here in Genesis chapter number 2. Let's go to verse number 18. Genesis chapter number 2, verse number 18. And the Lord God said, it's not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed beasts of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all the cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. For Adam, there was not found a helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. And he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Let's go ahead and look to the Lord in a word of prayer and ask the Lord's help this morning in our message, in our sermon. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for today. Lord, I know we live in a day and a time where it seems as if people are trying to redefine, draw new lines when it comes to this position about marriage. But Lord, help us to have faith in your plan for marriage. Lord, so many things have gone awry and crazy in this world to where people are losing their faith. But Lord, help us Christians to look back at what the Word of God says and teach us the truths that it comes to when it comes to having the right type of marriage. In Jesus' name, amen. Before I go any farther, a couple things I'd like to mention and try to just give you a little bit of introduction. First of all, I know not everyone gets married. Even the Bible talks about that. In 1 Corinthians, it talks often about sometimes it's better to stay single. And I can promise you, it's better to be single than to be married to the wrong person. Husbands, you don't want to say amen there, okay? Unless if you're married, you don't want to say that. So it is better to remain single than to be married to the wrong person. That's for sure. And I think some people would know what that's talking about. So it's not the idea of saying that every person needs to get married. It even talks about that in the New Testament, that's just not the case. Also, I know that there are some people in our church that have gone through divorces. This is not an idea to try to beat anybody over the head, but we're just going to talk about things that are biblical this morning and try to help us understand and see God's plan for marriage and how we can have faith with God's plan of marriage. The problem is that we live in a world that has different ideas than what God intends. We live in a world that has different ideas than what God intends. Our humanistic society thinks God's plan is outdated, thinks God's plan is old-fashioned and obsolete. And as a result, many Christians, instead of influencing the world for Jesus Christ and making an impact and a difference in this world, they've allowed the world to make an impact and difference in their own life and their own thinking. And they've lost faith in God's plan for marriage. We live in a culture today that's trying to redefine what marriage is, but we must needs only go back to the one who instituted marriage, the one who brought marriage about, and that is God. And that's what we need to look at and understand. Say, Pastor, why are you preaching a message about marriage? Well, marriage is important. Most people in this room has either been married, going to get married, or is married right now. But anything we can look at and see what God's word teaches us and tells us. Reminds me a little bit of a story how man has gone away from listening to God and things that are so key and only he knows the truth about. It tells me a little story. A husband and wife, they're driving down the road and they start having car trouble. They pull off to the side of the road and the husband's pretty irritated. Car's kind of new, and you know what? Your car's not supposed to break down when it's new. He's pretty frustrated. He gets off on the side of the road, angry and mad, and he gets out there. He picks up the hood, doesn't know what he's doing, but that's, you know, when your car breaks down, that's what you think you're supposed to do, right? Lift up the hood. I wouldn't know the difference of what to do. I could check the oil, and that's check the water, and that's about it. But you lift up the hood, and you see there the husband's upset, and this guy pulls over, and he stops by, and goes over to him and says, hey, can I offer you some help? The guy's frustrated, upset, doesn't want anybody's help, and he says, no, I'm good. And he says it kind of gruffly, and listen, and the guy starts saying, the car's practically brand new. It's not supposed to break. Well, the guy once again feels bad for him, and then the guy starts complaining about Fords. Anybody agree? And they start complaining about Fords, start saying things about, like, found on road dead and things like that. I'm just picking on you. F-O-R-D, found on road dead. He's a Ford mechanic, so I was just picking on him. You'll get that later on. this guy comes over and he says, look, I'm willing and able to help you if you want. And the guy says, no, not any interest in any help. No, thank you. It's kind of gruff with him again. And the guy, as he's walking away, says, look, let me introduce myself. I'm Henry Ford. And he says, he pushed away the help from the guy who actually created and designed the car. And it's a true story there that he could have been the one that could actually fix the car because he knew all about it. And just as silly as it is to push away the help of Henry Ford when you're talking about dealing with a Ford vehicle, it's just as silly to push away the help of God when it comes to your marriage because God is the one that made it. God's the one that instituted it. God's the one that knows what he's doing. God is the designer. He originated the home. He brought Eve to Adam and performed the first wedding ceremony in the Garden of Eden. And this is why it's important that we look to him. I don't understand why millions and millions of other people will turn to other places and to everyone else to try to find help with their marriage. Where they need to return to is the Bible and the Word of God. Perhaps it's pride. Perhaps they're afraid of what the Bible may tell them. Perhaps they're afraid of what God might tell them to do. Perhaps they're afraid to look to the Lord because they may have to change some things in their lives. And some of the things in this story or this message may not be politically correct, but you know what? We're not really caring about being politically correct. We're caring about being biblically correct. And this is what we got to focus on here is what does God say about marriage? What does God say about the role of the husband? What does God say the role about the wife? And I know husbands probably won't be happy during portions of this message. Wives might not be happy about portions of this message. But frankly, what the world is producing today is weird. I don't know why anybody would want to turn to the world and the culture we live in. You think about it, almost 60% of marriages end in divorce. There's a problem. There is a huge problem in the world that we live in. Kids are growing up without moms in the home or without dads in the home. Relationships are falling apart at record rates. And why is that? It's because people are going away from what God has told us in His Word. So in this passage of Scripture, and like many of the passages we're going to find in the book of Genesis, we're going to be going back to the basics. Remember last week we learned about the book of Genesis. It teaches us where we came from. The book of Genesis teaches us why we are the way we are. The book of Genesis teaches us why the man and the woman. Teaches us about the first family. Teaches us about anger. Teaches us about all types of things. And this morning, let's look at the basics we find in when having faith in God's plan for marriage. First thing I would like to look at is the purpose of marriage. The purpose of marriage. He said, I know why you're married. It's that way you can have a tax write-off. No, that's not the reason why you get married. Why you get married. Here, let's look and see why God instituted marriage. Why God designed marriage for a reason. It's become popular today to describe marriage as some type of artifact of society. But marriage was part of God's plan. It's part of His divine plan. It was part of from the beginning of creation. I know some people may differ, and I know that you might come say, well, I don't think she was created then. But if you go back to Genesis chapter number 1, and it says in Genesis chapter number 1, remember that's on page 1, verse number 27, so God created man in His own image. And it says, in the image of God created He him, male and female created He them. So I don't want any confusion here. What I believe was the Bible's talking about, it gives us 6 days of creation. And in chapter number 2, it begins to describe what happened on the sixth day. Some people have different theories. Some people have different thoughts about it. I believe that Adam and Eve, as the Bible says here in verse number 27, male and female created He them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the flesh, the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the living thing that moveth upon the earth. So according to what the Bible is saying here is God created, I believe, Adam and Eve on the same day. You say, Pastor, there's a lot of things that go on in verses 18 through 20, 25. How in the world could Adam created, God created Adam and all the beasts, and Adam named the beast, and Adam also, and then God create Eve? Well, you got to remember here, what God is teaching us here is He is teaching us that He could have created Adam in the morning. Adam, in those few hours, could have named all the beasts, because in verse number 19, it says, God formed every beast of the field, every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam. So Adam, he was brought unto Adam, and whatsoever Adam called the living creature, that was the name thereof. So he goes, and he names the different animals, and then it says in verse 21, the Lord God caused the deep sleep to fall upon Adam. So it is every beast of the field, it's referring to here that God, that Adam went ahead and named the beast, and then Adam was, God called to sleep, and then God took the surgery, took one of the ribs out, and then He created Eve. I believe that all happened in the same day. If you have questions about that, I'd be more than glad to teach you and understand why I believe that. But you say, why did God, or what's the purpose of marriage? Let's look here what it says in verse number 18. And Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I believe the first reason why God created the purpose of marriage is companionship. It's companionship. The reason why we have marriage is because of companionship. God noticed Adam's incompleteness. God had pity in solitude. I really believe that for most men, that's how God looks at us, that we need help. We need companionship. Matthew Henry put it this way. Eve was not taken of Adam's head to be on top of him or to rule over him, neither out of his feet to be trampled on by him, but out of his side to be equal with him, under his arm to be protected by him, and near his heart to be loved by him. Now listen in this idea of companionship. God, Matthew Henry says, Eve was not taken out of Adam's head to rule over him, neither out of his feet to be trampled on by him, but out of his side to be equal with him, under his arm to be protected by him, and near his heart to be loved by him. Now, when the Lord looked down, he saw Adam. He saw Adam had a need. Adam was alone. Now, I think that God, what he did is he created Adam. And when he created Adam, he brought all these animals his way. And as God brings the animals, he sees that the animals, there's two different kinds. There's male and female. And Adam looks around and he does not see someone for himself. But we don't see Adam running around the garden looking for his mate. Instead, we see Adam faithfully serving and faithfully doing what God had asked him to do. And as he does this, God brings him his mate. Now, here's a thought here. I know that there's probably not as many people here that are single or young people here. That's good for the young people that are here. Here's a principle. Now, how did Adam find his mate? He slept. God brought him his mate. And here's the thought. If you really truly want the mate that God desires and has designed for you to have, it means just to wait on God. Sleep in that attitude, actually. Don't be going around looking around. Don't be going around trying to attract a mate. Instead, leave that up to God and allow God to bring that mate to you in your life. You say, well, Pastor, nobody does that. Well, if you want to have faith in God's plan for marriage is for you to marry the right person. Marrying that right person means God will be able to bring that person into your heart and bring that person into your life. So for the young people that are here, you can talk to other people, and other people would tell you, you do not want to marry the wrong person. People have been married for many years. You can tell you marriage can be the greatest part of your life, or marriage could be the biggest headache in your life. And those are usually the ones that are no longer married. But waiting on God is a huge principle. And it's something that young people need to understand. And look, it's amazing today that young people, I mean, 8-year-olds, 9-year-olds, 10-year-olds go around talking about having boyfriends and girlfriends. It's crazy. And in the day and time that we live in, that I tell the church often, I don't think that kids really need to start dating until they start looking around for a mate. I mean, there's no reason for them to be involved in relationships, especially physical relationships, until they're starting to look for what God has planned for them. I think physical relationships should remain inside of marriage. And because of that, young people are getting involved in relationships today that is messing up their future with their husband and wives. So it's important and it's key that we understand here, Adam, who brought Adam his wife? God did. And I think God can do the same for us today. So here's some thoughts. Adam had perfect communion and he had fellowship with God before sin ever entered into the world. Everything was fine. But still, God looked down. He saw something. What did God see? He saw Adam was alone. He saw that there was something missing in his life. And God designs us. God has designed us to fellowship or have companionship. And that's what the Bible says. Whosoever findeth a good thing and attaineth favor of God. That was, if you find a wife, gentlemen, if you find a good wife, you've attained favor from God and you found a good thing. In the Garden of Eden, God planned the institution of marriage. Why did he plan it? It's for companionship. And so what you think about for your marriage is companionship. It's something that you're not supposed to be alone. But the next thing is completion. Completion. You keep on looking here in verse number 19. And out of the ground, the Lord formed every beast of the field, every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was a name thereof. And Adam gave names to all the cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But before Adam there was not found a helpmeet for him. Now here's the second part. What's the purpose of marriage? First thing is companionship. The second thing is completion. Completion. There was not found a helpmeet for him. This word translated helpmeet means a completer. God causes deep sleep to fall on Adam and made Eve from one of his ribs. Everything that Adam was not, Eve was. They were designed to come together. They were designed to complete one another. And that's the way God made man and woman. Society is so interested in blurring the lines between manhood and womanhood and the differences between man and woman. But if we would properly recognize, God made us different on purpose. God looks at them. He looks down. He sees Adam. He sees Adam is alone, and he sees Adam is incomplete. And he goes and he creates Eve for Adam's companionship, also to complete him too. Now, here's my thought. You know, a spouse is a gift from God. A spouse is supposed to be a gift from God. And husbands, what you're supposed to do is your wife is intended to complete you. It's supposed to be there to be a help for you. This might be one part of the message that some of the women are thinking, great, it's a completer. As we mentioned, equal but in different positions, different responsibilities. But many times, this is where sometimes wives struggle, is they're not completing their husbands. They're not there to be a help for their husbands. Many times women are being very critical of their husbands or bad-mouthing their husbands. And God made you to help complete your husbands. The areas that your husband may struggle in or the things he might not have as much of a gift in, those are not things for you to draw attention to or to laugh about amongst your friends or to make fun of. But instead, those are areas for you to come alongside and be a helpmeet to him. And many times, this is something a lady struggles with. Don't worry, ladies, we're going to talk about the husbands here in just a minute. But I want you to get and understand this. The Bible says that Eve was brought to Adam to be a helpmeet to him. Are you a help to your husbands here? Ladies, this is just a simple, honest question. How much of a help are you to your husbands? Because that's what God created a woman to be, a helpmeet to their husband. Not that, once again, wasn't created from the head to be able to rule over the man, wasn't created from the feet so the man can trample all over them, created from the side so they were equal, but also made in a way that they're different so that way you can be a help in the areas that he may struggle with. Second thing I want you to see here, I want you to see Adam's reaction. We'll call it the proclamation of marriage. You saw the purpose of marriage. Now we see the proclamation of marriage. I want you to see Adam's reaction when he sees this woman. Look what it says in verse number 22. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made a woman and brought her unto the man. Now, can you imagine this? Adam goes around, he spends a few hours, I'm thinking about 3 or 4 hours, naming all the animals. You say, Pastor, that would be really hard for us to do, name all those animals in 3 or 4 hours. Well, first of all, God brought all the animals to him. Secondly, he had a better mind than we did. Our mind is corrupted and our mind is deceived. Remember, this is before the sin, before the fall. So I think he would have had plenty of times to name those animals that were in the field there. It doesn't say every creeping thing. It talks about the fowls of the air. It doesn't talk about the fish. It talks about the animals and the fowls. I think he had plenty of time to do that. So he sees all this. He realizes he's alone. He sees everything else, has a helpmeet or a companion. God puts him to deep sleep and he wakes up and he sees this woman. Now, I'm sure he's excited. Before he was alone, now he has someone who is like him, someone he can be a companion with, someone he can coexist with. Look what it says in verse number 23. It says, Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of the man. Taken out of the man. So the first thing I want you to see is the purpose of marriage. It's for companionship. It's for completion. It's the proclamation of marriage. This is a proclamation of acceptance. Adam accepts the gift that God's given him. And to be honest with you, this is one of the most important foundations of marriage, is the husband being accepting of the woman. It's the husband speaking of the beginning of the relationship. It begins with acceptance. Many times when you're courting or dating, things are well, you're willing to accept all these things because you're in love. But after you get married, sometimes you just begin not to like each other. And husbands here, it's important that we need to understand, it's not about the characteristics or the individual's personality. It's about accepting them and accepting what God has given you. You know, men are seeking the same thing. They're looking for someone to accept and love them. Well, oftentimes when we criticize one another, often when we critique, when we judge our spouses, you know what happens? The foundations begin to crumble. We begin to sit there and complain about one another, and we're accustomed to just being unhappy and unthankful in our marriages, that proclamation of acceptance just isn't there. If you truly want to love your husband or love your wife, accepting them, I'm not saying accepting sin, but being there for your husband and wife. There's a story told about a man named Dave Reaver. He was fighting against the Viet Cong. He pulled a pin on a grenade and it malfunctioned, and his hands and his face were covered with a burning material. To try to gain relief, he had to go to a pond of water, and the water only spread the flames across his entire body. In his autobiography, he talks about wondering what his wife Nancy would think. He wondered if she would be willing to see him. He would wonder if she was willing to lay in a bed next to him, a man who had lost both his legs because of the injury. He even imagined and even dreamed that she took her wedding ring off and laid it beside the bed and said, "I'm sorry, I'm married to a man, not a cripple. I can't stay with you." After a few days later, David woke up to find Nancy standing beside his bed. She knelt down and kissed him and said, "Welcome home, David. I love you and I'm glad you're here." You know what she was giving him? She was giving him the gift every marriage needs. It's the gift of acceptance. It's understanding when you marry someone, it's for a lifetime. And accepting sometimes when there's might be hardships and trials that hit in your life. It's unconditional acceptance at that. Every wife needs that acceptance. Every man needs that acceptance. And what you see here, what is Adam doing? He is accepting the gift that God's given him. Not only is it talking about a proclamation of acceptance, it's a proclamation of honor. It's a proclamation of honor. You see what the Bible is saying here? It says that she shall be called woman because she was taken out of the man. Therefore shall man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. It's a possession of honor, a proclamation of honor. There's an honored position that your husband and wife should have. It's a position that it should be highly rated above everyone with the exclusion of God. He commands, even in the Bible, that man honors his wife. Now, I know everybody's bent on the fact that the Bible says submitting unto your husband. Everyone thinks that the husband should rule over the wife. But the Bible says in 1 Peter 3:7, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. What the Bible is saying here is that we should honor our wives. Husbands, do you honor your wife? Now, I'm not saying that they're inferior to men, but he is speaking about the way a man and a woman is made. You turn around, you see some men and husbands that are big and strong and they can lift hundreds of pounds, and then you turn around and you see another wife, their wife, that only weighs maybe 100 to 110 pounds and can't pick up more than 20 or 30 pounds. You know that men are made usually to be stronger than their wives. And that's what he's referring to. You should treat them with honor. That's why many times you hold the door open for a lady, or you hold the corridor open for them. It's a sign of respect and honoring them as the weaker vessel. Remember, God specifically designed women. Eve was unique among God's creation. God gives honor to women, and he commands her husband to do so as well. Referring to the wife as a weaker vessel is just a simply acknowledgement of their physical differences between a man and woman. So, we see then there is a need for marriage to be a place of honor. We should honor one another. We should lift up one another. The problem is, the day and time that we live in, many a times it is more of a war zone in a house than it is a place where we are honoring one another. Wives need to demonstrate honor to their husbands. Far too often do we hear cruelty, or do we hear cutting words spoken in public. The virtuous woman was a woman that spoke in the law of kindness. Now, I know what mankind likes. Men like to do. They like to make jokes back and forth. You know, they like to pick on one another. And I'm not saying that that's always wrong. But what I do not hear much about, I do not hear husbands honoring their wives and wives honoring their husbands. You know what we hear much about? We hear much about our husbands talk too much, or our wives talk too much. They don't do this or they don't do that. You know, we don't hear the honoring the Bible says. But you go back to the first marriage. God brings this man and he brings him to his wife, and what does he do? He accepts her. He says that she is going to be the number one priority in his life. The third thing I want you to see, not only is the purpose of marriage, the proclamation of marriage, but the priority of marriage. The priority of marriage. And this is where you get that verse in verse 24. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife. What's the priority? The first thing is leaving. It says that a man should leave his father and mother. And this is kind of a surprising statement, because why? Adam and Eve didn't have parents. But what he was doing, he was applying this to all marriages that would follow him, that there must be a separation for your marriage to succeed. There must be a leaving, means that they abandon one relationship before establishing a next relationship. And in this picture, I know it's talking about a mother and father, but it pictures all other things in our lives, that sometimes there are things we have to leave behind for our number one priority in our life besides God, which is our marriage. And sometimes we must break away from things and leave things in the behind and leave things in the past and completely sever things, so that way this first marriage can... this marriage of yours can be a first priority. Now, here's a thought. One of the problems why I don't like young teenage dating is because they begin to learn how to fall in love, supposedly, and then they break up. They fall in love and they break up and they fall in love and break up. The problem is that many times when a young person gets married today, they still have feelings or unresolved feelings for someone else. And they bring these unresolved feelings into another marriage. And the marriage vow says what? Forsaking all others. And we need to enter into a marriage understanding we need to leave behind all romantic attachment from anyone else in your spouse. And this is important because there needs to be a physical and emotional leaving of your extended family. Now, I'm not saying you cannot speak to or talk to your parents. The Bible speaks about how we should honor your parents. The Bible speaks how we should seek counsel for them and express love and appreciation. But also, if we really truly want to be successful in our marriage, you're going to learn how to leave your parents and cleave unto your mate. Now, I know my youngest son, and my wife encourages him with this, and I know I'm just picking on her and picking on him, is he says he's never going to leave the house. He says he's going to live there until he's 80 or 90 years old, and he's just going to stay there, and he's going to stay. He said, why would I want to leave? If my mom's good cooking there, I don't need anything else. And I tell him, he says, no, the Bible says that you're supposed to train them to leave, and you're supposed to train them to cleave to their mate. And some of the problems with the marriages that are in today is we have in-laws that are meddling and parents that meddle. And we need to make sure that the husband and wife, is what they're supposed to do, is they're supposed to leave that relationship and learn to cleave to one another. So the first thing is leaving. The second thing is cleaving. Adam also said that a man should cleave to his wife. This word means, speaking of glued together. Maybe you're old enough. I know most of us would remember. You ever remember that super glue commercial? The guy puts super glue on top of his helmet, and then he goes and hangs from the rafter. And he's sitting there hanging there, and his feet are kicking, his arms kicking, because that's showing how strong the glue is supposed to be. But that's the same thing when it comes to marriage. You're supposed to be cleaving together. It's supposed to be like glue, something you cannot separate without permanently injuring those things that are glued together. And then many times that is what a marriage is supposed to be. You're supposed to be glued together to the point that you're going to injure if you ever pull apart. Me and my wife made a commitment a long time ago to never talk about divorce. That just was not an option in our marriage. Now, does that mean we're always everything going great and perfect? No, we're human. There's problems. Sometimes there's arguments. Sometimes there's fights. And then she realizes I was right and just asks for forgiveness. See, you get to hear, all of you get to hear me. She gets to speak to Lynn, so. You know, now, Lynn knows the truth is what she says. Now, here, what the Bible's intention, though, is that we become one flesh. And I know that speaks about that in Ephesians. What the Bible's speaking about there is that we join together. No longer are we two separate individuals. Instead, we are one person. You know, if you take care of yourselves. Because if you don't take care of yourselves, you're not going to be worth anything. That's why you should cleave with your wife or your husband, because of the fact that you're supposed to care for one another. You're supposed to complete one another. And last but not least, we talk about leaving, cleaving, and there's also a weaving together. We're talking about that one flesh. God designed us this way. He did not design us to have separate bank accounts. He did not design us to have separate marriages. He did not design us to have our own friends and spend all our time apart from one another. God designed us to be together. Now, I know there is times for that you can enjoy time alone or spending time with other people, but that's not the ultimate design of a husband and wife. It's supposed to be one flesh where you're working together as a unit. And you say, Pastor, you're bringing up all these different things. Why in the world is this important for a Sunday morning message? Because it gets back to the Bible and it shows us God's intention for marriage. But is that really the marriage that you have today? Do you really have a marriage that is being a companionship with one another? Many times I've seen and heard people living in the same house, but not in love with one another. They got their, maybe even their own rooms, they got their own schedules, and they have decided to co-inhabit together just because they don't like one another, but they don't want to get divorced for the sake of the kids. That's not the way God intended it to be. And there's too many young people today that are seeing husbands and wives breaking up, moms and dads leaving one another, and it's come too normal, it's come too common today. That's why we need to have faith in God's plan. So according to what the Bible says, God created the woman to be a companion to the man. They're supposed to spend time together. They're supposed to enjoy one another. They're supposed to complete one another. What Eve lacked in, Adam was. What Adam lacked in, Eve was. You say, well, what if I get the wrong person? Well, if you're like Adam and not go around the whole garden looking for his mate, if you're like Adam, you do what God's called you to do, God will bring that mate to you if he wants you to have one. He'll bring that mate to you, and he'll bring the right one to you. Remember, God's the only one that really knows what your mate's going to be like in 10 years. He's the only one that knows whether or not they're going to stay faithful to you, if they're going to be a person who's abusive. God knows that because God knows everything. So you need to make sure you wait for the right one. Secondly, is a proclamation of marriage. The proclamation of marriage, you know, is one of acceptance. I accept my wife. She accepts me most times. So it's an acceptance. We accept one another for who we are. Even if it meant that one of us had some type of serious injury, or if one of us had something go on in our life, we would accept one another. But it's a proclamation of honor. The Bible says I'm supposed to honor her, and she's supposed to honor me. But how often does that happen in our marriages? I know the man likes to stand up and say, oh, look, the Bible says you're supposed to submit. There's another spot in the Bible that says that we're supposed to submit to one another. And if we're going to believe all the Bible, then we're going to say, you know what? God desires for us to honor one another, to lift up one another, encourage one another. And last but not least, you see the priorities in the marriage. You know, you're supposed to leave. Don't let your parents or your in-laws mess up your marriage. You're supposed to leave, and you're supposed to cleave. You're supposed to become one flesh. You're supposed to be one unit working together. Say, Pastor, how do you say I apply this to my life today? I know there's a lot of marriages that could use a lot of help. I'm not saying about this individual church. I'm just talking about in a general spot. Have faith in God's plan. Have faith in God's way. Is it easier to get mad and upset and yell at your wife or make jokes about them or to not treat your husband the way that you're supposed to or the way? It's much easier to do things the world's way. But what is the world producing? The world's producing divorce rate after divorce rate after divorce rate, producing children who don't have moms and dads both in the house. We need to go back to doing things God's way. You know, the world today is saying it's okay for a man to marry a man. Who are they to change what marriage is? God is the one who instituted marriage. It's not right for a man to marry a man. It's not right for a woman to marry a woman. It's unbiblical, and God's the one who instituted the marriage, and you shouldn't even have to have a law about that. The Bible talks about how it's a law against the flesh. It talks about so much about homosexuality, and that's not what the whole message is about, but we had to have faith in God's way. As Christians are letting their minds be blurred by society and by media today, thinking, hey, it's okay for homosexuals to get married. It's not. It's not what God has intended. And it's just wrong. And what did we talk about last week? God revealed to us the first marriage. He revealed to us what marriage was supposed to be about. Completeness, companionship, proclamations of acceptance and honor. He reveals unto us that they're supposed to become one flesh. He tells us all that. And if something goes against those things, we should stand up and fight against it and saying, hey, God says that back in the book of Genesis. He created heaven and earth. He created man. Later on that day, he created Eve. He brought them together. That is what marriage is supposed to be. Adam and Eve. And you've heard that joke before. It was Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. It is Adam and Eve. It's man and woman together. And that's the way it's supposed to be. And there's a whole world today saying, no, no, no. You want to be unbiblical. And that's what we're trying to do, is live a life that is according to the Bible. I know this morning's message is a little bit different than what a Sunday morning message may be about. But ask yourselves, am I really being the mate that God wants me to be? I mean, ask yourself that. Ladies, are you really completing your husband? Are you helping him? Or are you pulling him apart? Are you trying to get to his demise? Husbands, are you really honoring your wives, uplifting them, treating them as a weaker vessel, encouraging them? Or are you pushing them down and pushing them down, telling them they're not worth anything? And that happens so much in so many marriages. A husband and wife are supposed to cleave together and work together. I think that there's one thing we could be praying for is for our Christian homes, especially our marriages. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet with the heads bowed and the eyes closed.